Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, by your grace, you have made yourself known to your people throughout history. We pray that you would speak to us in this, our generation, so that we might know and obey you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Presiding at a baptism is always a profound and joyful privilege. And this morning's baptisms are particularly wonderful for me because I had the honor of presiding at the weddings of both sets of parents. Jay and Carrie Penner, and Adrian and Lisa Bure. Both couples are committed followers of Jesus Christ. And it is wonderful and it's so right to see them bringing their children, William Michael Bure and Anne Elizabeth Grace Penner, into full participation in Christ's saving covenants through the waters of baptism. While thinking about this service, it struck me that both little Annie, she's Annie, right? Anne, too, well, both, okay. That both little Anne and little William come from a line of committed and practicing Christian believers. Anne's grandparents, Rick and Colleen Penner, are here, as is his grandmother Marjorie Wigg. And on that farther shore and brighter light of that cloud of witnesses, Annie's grandfather, the Reverend Brian Wigg, rejoices with us. William's grandparents, Renee and Brenda Bure, and Jim and Phyllis Furukawa, are here. And we are so blessed that William's great-grandmother, Greta Bure, is present at this service of baptism. And so, being aware of all this, being aware of this wonderful line of faithful and committed Christians, you can imagine my surprise pleasure when I read through the appointed readings for this Sunday and encounter these words of St. Paul to his young helper and friend Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. You've just heard Nadia read these words. Paul writes, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Well, I thought there's a theme for a Sunday like this. And it's an important theme. The theme is the transmission of the Christian faith from one generation to another. It appears that Timothy came to Christ through the teaching of his mother and grandmother. And this is supported by the book of Acts, where in chapter 16, verse 1, we read, "Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek." It's thought by many that St. Paul's second letter to Timothy was written by Paul as he awaited execution under the Emperor Nero sometime around AD 65 to 67. And it's very moving to think of this powerful and tender letter written to Timothy, exhorting him and encouraging him to think of that letter being written from death row. But as I say, they think sometime around AD 65 or 67. But whenever Paul wrote this letter, it seems very probable that Timothy's mother and grandmother, especially his grandmother Lois, were among some of the earliest believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they passed it on to Timothy. And then through all those centuries after Timothy, the Christian faith, by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation until here you are in church this Sunday morning, hearing God's word, joining with God's people in thanksgiving for all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ the Lord. Here you are. It has been passed on from then to now. And who was the human vehicle that God used to pass on the faith to you? Was it a mother or grandmother like Timothy? Or a father or grandfather? Perhaps godparents? Perhaps an uncle or an aunt? Or a friend or a teacher? Maybe a priest or pastor? Maybe a writer? I've met people who've come to faith through a book. Perhaps it was several people. Whoever it was, I hope that you remember to give thanks to God for them in your prayers. For they have given you an eternal gift, the gift of salvation and the gift of life in its fullness. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, once famously said that the Christian church was always, quote, one generation away from extinction. St. Paul seems very aware of this in our reading from 2 Timothy, as he exhorts Timothy not to give in to fear or to be ashamed of the persecution, mocking, and suffering which his faith brought him. For if one generation gives into fear or becomes ashamed of the gospel and does not pass it on, how will the subsequent generation know? And so Scripture, throughout the Old and the New Testaments, calls us to nurture the next generation in the faith. And this call is to all of us. Not only is it for those with children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, though it certainly includes them, but this call is also to all of us with God-children. And we are all called to nurture the faith of our nephews and our nieces and the children of our friends, and perhaps particularly, with particular importance, the children of this church. Now, I want to acknowledge that there's a lot of guilt around this issue. A lot of people feel very guilty when we talk about it. In the Western world, cultural shifts have not helped us. And the baby boomer generation, of which I am a part, has struggled with this, has struggled with passing on the faith, has struggled with a shifting culture. But this sense of guilt is not helpful. For as Paul reminds us in our reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, we have been saved, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And Paul goes on to tell us that this grace was given to us, quote, in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. In other words, faith ultimately comes as a gift from God, and we are not God. Isn't that liberating? We are not God. Faith ultimately comes from God. We are called to do what we can and then leave it to God's grace and love. For we can trust in that grace and love. And there are things we can do. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul gives Timothy and all Christians some important instructions. He says in verse 6, "Fan into flame the gift of God." And this can also be translated as rekindle God's gift to you. And the image is of stirring and blowing on embers to get a fire going again. The embers are still there. They just need a little bit of oxygen, a little bit of stirring, and there goes the fire. In other words, stir up the grace and love and faith that you have received by putting them into practice. And here are some ways to do that. Pray for the children in your life by name. And do it daily. And tell them that you are doing that. It will make an impression and will bring them comfort knowing that they're in your prayers daily. My late maternal grandmother worried a lot about her grandchildren, most who seemed to have turned away from the faith. I remember distinctly when I was in my mid-teens, her telling me that she prayed for every one of us daily. And that had a real impact on me, and I think on all of that group of cousins who knew that she prayed for us daily. And within about 4 or 5 years of her death, which occurred when I was 18, most of her grandchildren had come to Christian faith. And her witness was certainly part of that. Something else I would encourage you to do when speaking to the young people in your lives is to tell them what your faith in Christ has meant to you. Tell them about the ways in which your relationship with Jesus and your faith in Him has given you guidance in your life decisions and support in difficult times. If they don't know, I mean, if you don't tell them, how will they know? How will they know that that resource that has meant so much to you is a resource that's available to them? I'm sometimes saddened during funerals when young family members pay tribute to older family members whom I knew to be committed Christian people. And the young people will speak with great admiration of the values and principles which they saw in their uncle or their grandmother or whoever, with no word about where those values and principles came from, or rather, whom they came from. Please share your faith stories with your young people. Such stories are not abstract or preachy in the negative sense, because they come out of your authentic experience and are part of your life story. Young people will listen carefully to such stories. They will sense the authenticity. Now, this concern about passing on the faith is not a new concern. After all, our parish is named after the great bishop and theologian St. Augustine of Hippo. And the chapel here at St. Augustine's is named after Augustine's mother, St. Monica, who is famous for being worried sick about her son's spiritual health and in doing everything she could to help him come to faith in Christ. Once, when she had poured out her heart in grief about her son to a bishop, he comforted her by saying, "Dear woman, it is impossible that a son of such tears should perish." And Monica's tears and prayers were answered, for she lived to see her son converted and was present at his baptism in Milan at the Easter Vigil in the year 387, when Augustine was 33 years old. Now, all of this brings us to this morning's baptisms. The concern that we as a church family be intentional about transmitting the faith to our children is implicit in the baptismal liturgy when we, the congregation, are asked, "Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these children in their life in Christ?" And we will answer, "We will." I've had people express concerns, really, really good and valid concerns, about making such a promise when they don't know the family, or even wonder if they are even going to have any kind of relationship with the children. But this promise that we make is not dependent on a close relationship, though that is really nice when it happens. Rather, one of the primary ways we fulfill this promise is by our support for parish programs and ministries which have to do with passing on the faith to the young ones. For such ministries make up a huge portion of our parish programming. It never really struck me until I prepared this sermon how much of our parish's programs are about passing on the faith. For instance, our children's and family minister, Wendy Doherty, focuses the vast majority of her efforts on such ministries. And these ministries involve all of the parish staff and a large percentage of our volunteers. For such ministries of faith transmission include Sunday school, nursery, our holiday Sunday school, vacation Bible school, the middle school youth group, the high school youth group, the teen confirmation class, and if Greg and Carol Young and Judith and I have dark circles under our eyes, it's because we had a confirmation class sleepover on Friday, which was great, actually, great kids. Or, more recently, the Praise Makers, our children's choir, which has been started up. Or the Christmas play, which involves so many children and youth. And These are just some of the ways in which you and I as a church family pass on the faith to the children of this parish. By God's grace, may it continue to be so. And may we live out the words of the Eucharistic doxology, the words of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, which we recite every Sunday at this 10 a.m. service. Many of you know it, you can say it with me. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.